the super spreader of vaccines, of conspiracy theories.
Thank you, and good night.
The most exciting thing you can start a show with.
Coming live from the 2SER studio.
This is a great show.
Across the park, 2SER.
And just go for a swim, but like deep.
Come on in, meatball.
Testicles.
You're pointing at the doggy.
Gummy ball.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah, no worries, eh? How good?
Which part of that was
good? The real problem with that.
Bloody.
Never walk alone.
I can stand the prick.
Oh, the bloody bird.
Let's not do this.
Oh, the corner injury. She got a corner injury.
Hello and welcome to Across the Park, a sports show that is so in-depth with its analysis, you would think the three hosts were sporting royalty. But unfortunately for you, they are not. They are simple folk who struggle to string complete sentences something. What up, B-boys and fly girls? I'm Joel Kassam, and the following names belong to those who I'm about to introduce. First up is a woman who just got off her flight back from Germany. It's Gabby Morris.
Hello.
Hello.
I did not fly on a flight.
You didn't?
I don't even know how to say talk about flying anymore. It
yeah,
seems
what,
so
what is
foreign.
What other words you use? It's like a, I don't know.
I don't know. Like what is a plane?
Just a
it's a tin
surface.
Full of germs. That's what it is.
Oh. Oh God, don't talk about germs.
Germ tin. We'll get to Gabby's germs shortly. Also joining us is a man who might as well throw his hat in the ring to become Australia's newest test opener. It's Mick Rad.
Oh, yeah. I average a very healthy 9.2. I reckon that'll help.
Better
out.
Than what we've got, I think.
Yeah. I'm in. I'm waiting for the call.
Congratulations.
I'm next to my phone. Ready to go.
You are. First and foremost, let's start with the fact that I'm the only one in the studio today. This is kicking it old school. This is back mid-year when we were all doing it via Zoom. We are doing it all via Zoom again tonight. Welcome to...
Well, you're there. You're the only one who's committed enough to actually remember to turn up in the studio. I apologize. I should be there.
You did a Gabby Morris.
I pulled a Gabby.
You really did. I'm.
But Gabby really.
Like, I literally was reading the messages going, ooh, so glad this isn't me this time.
But Gabby, you really pulled a Gabby. Like, I mean, you just did a Gabby. You gabbed it all over the place this week.
Oh, did I gab it all over the place this week? Yeah, look, I don't know what happens every December. This happens, but yeah, got the full blown guts ripped out of me. Got the gastro. Was literally in a physio appointment, face down, face in the hole. And I was like,
she had to turn around.
Painful. It's kind of making me a bit nauseous.
Just put
and
a
I was like, oh, like I'm feeling a bit nauseous. Like it was pretty painful, but I was like, I've never had this before. And I'm lying there face first and she's like having a go at my neck and I'm like, oh, this is really hurting my tummy and this is weird. Anyway, I was like, thank you. Like $100 later, I was like, I'm not really sure what for. Got in the car, got home and I was like, oh my God, I'm feeling sick. And I like, you know, when you feel so sick, I just took off all my clothes. Rosie's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I don't feel
now.
Well. And then that was it. It was like from 5 till 6 a.m., just like fever, full fever dream, fainting, vomiting, all the rest.
Bloody hell.
But, like, gastro is evil. Like, it's an evil thing. And I'm literally, like, lying on the bathroom floor at death's door. And I'm like, Rosie and I have had a really good life together. Like, I can't believe this is how it's going to end. She's just going to see me, like, the shivering, sweaty, disgusting mess on the bathroom floor. And that's it. Like, what a shit way to go. Like, I was literally thinking that. I was like, I'm dying. Like, I'm slowly dying. But I didn't, obviously. I'm here.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm still unwell, that's for sure. And Rosie was a fantastic nurse. But, like, 3 days, 4 days in, we were like, wow, like, we survived. Like, you survived. Like, you were so sick. You know, like, I'm not sick. This is great. Like, continuing on her time and then get a text message, you know, 4 days later. 4 days later. Uh-oh. I'm feeling
biosecurity.
And I was like, get home now. Get in the car and get home now. She like raced home, exactly the same scenario. Took off all the clothes, spewing up her guts.
Oh, God.
And I was just like, what a, like, you really, like, it's an evil, evil thing. Like, it really brings you to your most vulnerable place you could ever be. And especially in front of someone else, like, whew. I mean, thank God she was there, to be honest. I literally thought I was going to die. I'm here.
Right. It's a story of love at the end.
Yeah, that's it.
You keep on blowing me away, Gabby, with the amount of different sicknesses you can have in 1 year. It's
I'm glad I blow you away. Like, I'm glad that I make you. Yeah, it's true. I've had them all, and I'm not even exaggerating. And it's extremely frustrating because, you just lie in bed for 4 weeks and go, what is life? I mean, it's a perfect way to end 2020. Like, it's not even quite over yet, but it's really tightly wrapping up what a sensational year this was, you know, just both ends going for it.
Well, I'm really looking forward to seeing what you get in 2021, Gab.
Oh, no, don't. Let's not make any. I'll probably randomly get like COVID and then it will just be.
When everyone else hasn't, it's all gone.
Yeah, it's just going to be like, how the fuck did you get that?
You'll be in the papers like this one person's got COVID and everyone's like, I'll do it, Gab. Been taken off air.
It'd be great publicity.
Good publicity, actually, Gab. Publicity. Do it.
Please do it.
What was that, Joel?
It's great publicity. Do it for the show.
What makes you think I'm going to even talk about it? Across the park, that is.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, why wouldn't you?
Mick, how are you? What's happening?
Yeah, I'm going all right. I feel like this week has been long. And so long that I just kept working today and forgot to come into the studio, which was a bit wrong.
Yes.
And then I saw that the time when you messaged it, I caught up. I was like, "What? Oh crap! I'm supposed to be finishing work now. It's Friday. What am I doing?" But yeah. Anyway, that's why I'm on Zoom today. But glad the week's over and looking forward to some beers and gin. I'm drinking gin.
Good at for home. You.
By not your in gin, the studio.
With your cat. I'm Powerade. Joel's by himself drinking.
I've got my water, which I think makes a great sound.
Hydration. Hydration is key.
Good boy.
We also need to recognize that today is International Celebration of the Mountain Day, which is pretty exciting.
What mountain? Which mountain?
Who's been
mounting? All the mountains. All the mountains in the world. So if you go hashtag Mountain Day, you will see that there is a day celebrating all the mountains. And it was actually started by the United Nations back in 2003 to bring awareness to all the things that we rely on mountains for.
And the mountains need a day? Like, come on.
And the mountains do need a day. Why? They do need a day. They're glorious.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Gab, for that mountain. Did that work?
Mountains are fantastic and they have great things that they offer us.
You're still going, Joel.
Oh, sorry.
I'm just trying to delay before we start talking about cricket.
We're not going to get there yet because actually speaking of mountains is a fantastic segue for me because this week I went and painted. I did a painting at one of those.
What?
You go.
Oh, no, you didn't.
And you drink wine and you paint.
You did it. Oh, you did it.
I hope you got a photo of it to go up on our Instagram.
Go on Instagram today. It'll be on my Instagram tonight if you want to have a look. I went and I painted mountains.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
It's like, painted a mountain. It's like, pointy breasts. Easy. Done.
There's three, actually. So, but I did
it. Three.
Yeah, because I knew that it was International Mountain Day today.
Oh, that's I thought true. There was someone out there celebrating today, and that's what I brought it up for.
That's not true at all. I think of mounting in a different way to...
Mounting?
Mounting.
Oh, he's a Mountie. Oh, he is a Mountie.
Okay, so... Hi.
Wait, is that your whole news? Is that the whole news of Joel? Is that you painted?
Of course he went to a paint and sip. Was it, is that what it's called, a paint and sip?
It could be. Like I don't know what it's called.
40-year-old woman? Oh, wait, sorry. I bet you went on a date.
Yes, it was.
Yes, I knew it. Aren't you meant to paint each other? Isn't that the whole part of the romance?
Ooh.
Or were you painting her mountains?
Sorry. No, there's like a picture on. I've only done one. I don't know. There's quite a few around. And there's like a painting on the wall. And you sit there and
you paint by numbers.
Well, it's sort of like, yeah, where they. Yeah. Well, it's not. I mean, it's not. You got to color it in with what number, you know, coincides with what they tell you. It's not like that. They sort of instruct you how to do it. And anyway, it became, in some sporty way, quite a competition for me. I had to do the best painting. And I sort of went in, because I can't paint. Like, I can't draw a smiley face. But I went in with the idea that maybe I'm going to get discovered today because my picture's so good.
Oh, my God.
And whoever's doing it is going to be like, this is the most incredible work of art I've ever seen. You should be.
Yes.
You know? I mean, it didn't happen, obviously.
You
know, I'm still
did you ever get that? As a kid, when you were playing sport and you'd be playing, like, you're like, I'm playing really well today. And like, maybe there's a scout here.
Yes.
And maybe I'll get scouted.
Yes.
Like, I still sometimes think that when I'm like playing really well, I'm like, maybe someone will want to sponsor me.
I often thought that when I played trampoline dodgeball. Maybe there's a scout here for trampoline dodgeball. No, I don't think there's any sort of. No.
Or you just kind of go like, maybe we could become semi-pro. Like, someone's here and wants to give us that opportunity. Like,
someone's got a lot of money.
You're playing social tennis at the Portuguese club. Like, it's not going to happen.
Hey, guys, I was looking just now to see what the name of these paint and sip places are, and they've got, like, really amazing names. There's, like, Cork and Canvas.
Yep.
There's Brush and Sip. There's Cork and Chroma.
That's where we're
Pinot and Picasso. I mean, bloody hell, they're also innovative, these names.
Are you being sarcastic? Because I can't tell.
I'm very sarcastic. I mean, come on. Just fucking call it, like, painting and
sitting
drinking.
Sitting down, painting numbers, paying heaps of money, just cheap, drink cheap booze.
It's called.
Sorry. Sorry, Joel. We always do this to him. It sounds like it was a lovely time.
That's why he doesn't tell us what he does every week, because he doesn't want us to take the piss out of him.
That's why I mute the group chat until Friday.
No wonder you didn't share the painting on the group chat.
It's true, I didn't.
I'm ready for it.
It'll come up. Don't worry. I'll put it on the gram, the IG. All right, so we're done. Everyone's said what they need to say. Can we go back to being friends?
Yeah.
Okay. Shall we talk some sport then?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess.
Short.
Okay.
That's what
shorts.
I need, some shorts.
What should we? Because you shit through the last ones.
Come on.
Sorry. I'm sorry. What sport?
Hey, guys.
Yes.
What do you call a Cuban gastrologist?
What?
Fidel Gastro.
You just make that up?
Yeah, of course I just made that up. I'm a comedian. My trade.
All right. What sport shall we start with?
Can we talk about these ridiculous new NRL rules, please?
Okay, cricket. So, no. Yeah, we'll do NRL first. So today, Friday, because it's Friday, we're actually here on a Friday, the NRL has unveiled new rules that will be coming into effect in 2021. 99.9% of fans have already blown up about most of them because they are crap. There's a couple of okay ones. We can go through them, but for the most part, it's not very good. Mick, thoughts?
Just they're trying to turn rugby league into rugby union, and I'm not fucking happy.
In what way? The scrum.
They're trying to make rugby league faster, right? So rugby league's always been a bit stop-start, but that's just part of the game. You get a time to sort of set. You get a time to do a set play. You've got a bit of an opportunity with each player of the ball to sort of work out a play. Rugby union's very much more, I mean, it's slow, but it's more flowing. It's just, you know, tackle, play, tackle, play, tackle, play. So they're trying to turn rugby league into a bit of a union thing now. Like, we're in union. If the ball goes over the sideline, you can do a quick line out. And you can just throw it out to your guy and you can keep running.
Yeah, I like that. That's good.
You like that? Well, that's rugby union. That's a different game. So rugby league, they're now bringing
in. I know
in
that.
The rule. Oh, good. Whew. I mean, if you didn't know the difference between rugby union and rugby league, I'd say get it off this show. But it's okay.
Barely on this show, so.
So the new rules, there's a few different ones, but one of them is that if the ball goes over the sideline, there's no scrums anymore. That it's just a play of the ball or a tap or something, and then just keep playing. Other rules, and the stupidest rule of all is if you kick a field goal from outside 40 meters, you're going to get 2 points rather than one.
That is a stupid rule.
Why? That sounds fantastic. That's more exciting. More points. More points is more exciting.
Is it? Is it?
Yeah.
Why?
Why isn't that good?
Because you're just going to get people trying to take field goals from 40 meters out. A, they've got to, you know, you've got to like stop the game to check whether it was 40 meters out or not. It's going to slow the game down inevitably. But also, it's not exciting seeing people try to kick field goals. You want people to
see people score, that's why you watch
score
AFL.
Tries.
Yeah.
You want people to score tries? That's what we watch. And I'd rather they reduce the amount of points for a try scored from a bomb, because then you discourage people scoring tries from bombs. If they can run the ball.
Bomb tries are the best. What are you talking about?
Bomb tries are just lottery tries. It's
that's
really just
so thrilling when
they
win.
It's not thrilling. It's just luck, because it's no skill. If you put the bomb up and it happens to bounce or bubble out of someone's hands and it lands into your hands and you score.
I couldn't agree less.
No skill. That's why you're on this show, Gabby.
How many gins have you had?
It's none of your damn business how many gins I've had.
Can we just talk about one of the rules, which I still don't even understand the current rule, which is this ridiculous fucking scrum situation. Like, it infuriates me. It's like they do a little tap dance. Like, they all come together and do this little, like, ballet dance on their tippy toes. The ball kind of just like pitters down and then just gets past the dude, right? It's like, what is going on here? Like, it's actually embarrassing to me.
Okay. So scrums, like Mick said, there's a whole lot to do with the scrums actually. So as Mick said, if the ball goes out, they can do the quick tap now. Did you say that, Mick, or did I think you said that? What did you say? Yeah, cool.
Oh, they can do the quick tap. Okay, great.
They can, but only if the ball goes out. Now, if there's like a knock-on or forward pass and they have to do a scrum, I think that stays. They're going to do this thing where they call break. So the ref will call break when the ball's out. That means the scrum can break. And if you break early, it's a penalty or something, or another scrum.
Penalty.
And then
penalty.
If you do it again, the player is sent off, whoever does the infringement. However, the scrum, the whole idea of the scrum, I think, at least this is what I was always led to believe, is that it's meant to be for the forwards to get in there. Which is why they all have their names, like the props and the hooker and the second row and the lock. That's what the scrum's meant to be. And then the back line get an opportunity to put on a play so they can make.
Oh, so it's like a reset. It's like allowing people to kind of have a break, reset.
Well, kind of, but it's allowing the faster players to do something. But since for such a long time now, the scrum is not packed like that, and therefore it became quite pointless. So you are right. The scrum is a pointless part of the game. I'm not like I'm still talking. I don't know why.
that makes sense though. That was a good explanation. I mean, I'd rather them just do they come together and do a bloody breakdance or something, and then like at least do something entertaining instead of twinkle their toes with their heads together.
Well, back in the day, scrums actually mattered because it wasn't just a foregone conclusion that the team that fed the ball was going to win the ball.
Yeah.
They'd have to put the ball in the middle. Yeah. There'd be a bit of a tackling with the feet, and then one team would get it.
Hasn't happened for years, so it is pointless. It's not like in union where you feed the ball and there is an element of, like, the front rowers determining potentially who gets that ball, whoever's fed it or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I sounded like I knew what I was talking about then. You have to admit.
You did very well. There was 8 new changes altogether. There was the field goal one from 40 out. I think bunker reviews are changing now this is a good one. So if what's this one? I think I've got this wrong. Captain's challenge.
Every try that's given now, they're going to check the try.
And that's right.
With the bunker.
Yeah. So even if they don't ask for it.
Before they go for the conversion.
Yeah. But the captain's challenge one. So if your team does the captain's challenge and it's like inconclusive and you used to lose your captain's challenge, or we did for this 1 year that we had it. But now that if it's inconclusive, you can still retain your captain's challenge.
which is fine.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
The other one that's good is if injured player is treated by a trainer on the field, they will have to go off if they're, I think, longer than 2 minutes or something like that, if they're being looked after.
So the rule
What about the thing that they do when they're getting tackled where they hump the air?
Yeah, no, that's still part of the game.
Oh, what is that?
That's encouraged. That's encouraged, Gabby.
Is it?
No, I don't know.
So why do they do that?
Because they think the ref will see them and be like, oh, there's someone on top of them, I should blow a penalty. But 99% of the time, they're just doing it by themselves.
Yeah, they're just like humping.
Yeah. Humping the ground. Also,
okay,
in.
Thanks for that clarification.
That's okay. Also, in NRL, the New Zealand Warriors will be moving back to Australia again next year, it would seem. The Warriors will set up camp in Tamworth for a month, starting the 3rd of January before moving to the Central Coast, and will be playing their first few games there, depending on what happens. RE.
Oh, okay. COVID. Just waiting for the vaccines and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Seeing what happens. In Olympics news, breakdancing is now an Olympic sport.
We're only 7 months away from the Olympics.
The 2020 Olympics is very soon. Breakdancing is now an Olympic sport.
No. Oh, my God. I'm getting in there.
How have you not heard this?
It's in 2024.
In Paris, that's right. So the announcement came through the week as the IOC sort of just like continuing to bring in new sports that they think more people will enjoy. But with bringing in new sports, I think means...
breakdancing.
Yeah. Wasn't even sure it was a sport.
Everybody loves breakdancing. Imagine telling your mum that you're going to the Olympics.
All those years I paid for swimming lessons. I'm so proud of you. This is amazing. You're going to be a swimmer. You're going to be a medalist in the Olympics. Oh, no, it's breakdancing.
But also breakdancing is also sports skateboarding.
Yep.
And sport climbing.
Yep.
And surfing, Gabby. You're in. Surfing.
I'm in. Oh, I'm in. Good old surfer dude here for sure.
So surfing and skateboarding are in the 2020 Olympics, I'm pretty sure.
I think chess is also in the Olympics, which I'm getting quite good at.
You've said this a couple of times, Gab, and I don't know if it is.
Okay. Well, it's definitely a sport.
Even that I'm a bit
unsure. It's a game. It's a game. It's not a sport.
It's a sport. I've already had this conversation. Mick, you weren't here for this episode, but it's 100% a sport.
So,
listen back to the episode. Episode.
I don't listen to episodes I'm not on. God, what do you think of?
So that's exciting. The Olympics. Is it? I don't know. I don't know how I feel about the Olympics.
Why?
They're
not
boring.
Not enough chess. But now there's breakdancing. How's it boring?
Yeah,
breakdancing. It's 2024. Next year.
I'm sorry. I just think breakdancing is just such a funny thing to have in the Olympic sport, as an Olympic sport. Like, I'm not laughing at dancers. I'm sorry, but it is quite funny. Who would have thought it? Hey?
The IOC.
Guys, the Olympics are on next year, right? We've got another chance to lead up to our presence at Tokyo, to us going to broadcast Across the Park live from the Olympics.
I'm very excited about that.
7 months to get this going.
Yeah, so we need to that GoFundMe page. How's that going?
We're working on it.
Imagine trying to get money for that. God, I reckon we'd get negative amount of money. Can you not run a show in Tokyo, please? We'll pay you not to do it.
Right, Joel, cricket.
Cricket, okay. Oh. After not having the best start in the three...
Oh, no, I'm feeling queasy again.
In the three one-day internationals, India beat Australia in the T20s. However, we did avoid a clean sweep, winning the third and final game on Tuesday night. Kohli scored 85 for India and Wade finished with 80, but it was Mitch Swepson's 3-for-23 that really helped Australia hold on. For the second straight match, Swepson did not concede a boundary in his four overs, which is incredible for a spin bowler who is playing T20. Like, normally they're the sort of ones that get smacked around a bit.
Totally.
Yeah, I'm glad I stopped talking and opened that to everyone. So, yeah, so between the one-day internationals, we won 2-1, then the T20s, India won 2-1, which is kind of good now because we're leading into next week's first test match. And
the real cricket begins.
Real cricket's on, and we've had some...
And Warner's out, everyone. Which is sad.
Is he out, is he?
Yes, Warner won't play the first test, so they're looking to, got to replace him, right? He's officially out of the first test. I think we've got a lot of options as to who to bring in.
Yes.
What do you think?
Well, I put your name forward.
Well, you did, and I appreciate that. I think I've got some sort of dinner on that or lunch on one of those days. I've already told them I can't make it, so we've had to look elsewhere.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I don't know who else can open. There was a lot of talk about Will Pekowski doing it, but he got concussed through the week, and it's like the ninth concussion he's had in cricket, which is way too many. One concussion is enough. He's had nine, so
he was the front runner. He was supposed to be definitely like he was going to be the guy. This is his big chance.
Yeah,
and yeah, it'd be really sad if he's not there.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't know. I don't know who's going to. When does the team get announced? It's less than a week away.
Soon. It'll be Joe Burns and someone. So I'm not sure who else. Maybe Pekowski. But have you seen Cameron Green? You've seen him playing in the Australia A team?
Yes. Good player.
He's going to be a player to watch in the future. He's very good. Lots of raps on him, but he just looks like one of those players. You just look at him early and go, look, this guy's going to play. And he's going to be great. And he's going to play for like 10 years and be an awesome Australian cricketer.
What was his first name again, sorry?
Cameron.
So he's obviously, once he's in the Australian team, the test team, his nickname has to be Baggy, so his name is Cameron Baggy Green.
Nice.
They can have that. I'm giving that to the Australian team. That's my contribution to the Australian cricket team.
Good on you, Joel.
Thank you. We all have to put in our part. Now, the Australian Women's T20 World Cup winners have become just the second team to win the Don Award after their memorable tournament and victory at the MCG in March. So the Don Award is presented annually at the Sports Australia Hall of Fame, and it's an award that goes to athletes or teams whose deeds most inspired the nation over the past 12 months. So that's
right.
Good.
So they win.
Good
like
on
out
girls.
Of everyone. That's pretty huge.
Yeah. So of all sporting, whether you're just like an individual or team throughout Australia, they were the most inspirational.
And I think everyone's forgotten about that because it was on before COVID or just as COVID started.
Yeah.
That was a huge effort.
I think I'm sure a lot of people have forgotten about it. Hey, also, I just want to say an updated cricket news. 30,000 people are going to be allowed to watch the test cricket on Boxing Day at the MCG.
Nice.
How many?
30,000.
Why not all of them?
I think
Victoria and it's COVID and
Melbourne still has
an increase.
Because New South Wales can now have 100% outdoor crowd. So the other day there was 35,000 at the SCG. It was huge. And it was just amazing to see a full crowd at a sporting venue again. But I guess Victoria is still a bit more cautious, eh?
Hey. Yep. Hey, let's play a game. Game. Absolutely no effort.
Right.
No effort whatsoever.
It's just whatsoever. Leftover questions from 2 weeks ago.
These are leftover questions from about 2 months ago.
I hate leftovers.
10. Why? They're just leftovers because we didn't get to them. They're not the bad ones.
It's going to make Gabby sick. You don't want to make Gabby sick again, Joel, do you?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, Joel.
Anyway.
I want some fresh stuff. Nourishing, good, fresh shit.
Okay, these are fresh questions. I wrote them during the show. What are the five colours of an archery target?
Red, blue, green, yellow.
Red, white, black.
White.
Yellow, green.
Work together.
I think I got it.
Work together. Because you've
red,
got it.
Definitely, red, definitely. White, definitely. Black, definitely.
Yep. Two more.
Two more.
Green.
No.
Blue.
Yellow?
Yes, blue.
Yellow.
And I'm going to give you yellow because it says gold, but yellow. That's good enough for me. Yes.
We did it.
Nice. Good work. All right, that's it. That's the end of the show.
Oh, that was quite fun.
I'm glad you had a good time. Hopefully the listeners did too.
I forget that people might be listening.
They're definitely not.
We have listeners.
That's true, right now.
Nick, we have Nick, okay?
It's not a product, it's a technology.
It's an education challenge.
A regenerative suspension.
There will be a growing demand for industrial photovoltaics.
Pumped hydro.
Innovation in the financing space.
The high-speed train is in all our interests.
All political lines.
Australia is a solar paradise.
The market is moving much faster than that.
You've got something that's transformational.
Solar window in a can.
Beyond Zero, global warming science, solutions and action.
Taking it to a do-it-yourself level.
Hello, I'm Kay Wenigal. Thanks for joining me on another Beyond Zero Science and Solutions show. This show is coming to you via the studios of 3CR Melbourne and is syndicated around Australia on the Community Radio Network and podcast on the internet at 3cr.org.au. Both the BZE Community Show and this show are now also available on iTunes and Stitcher, so please subscribe and rate us to help others find the show. Robert Llewellyn is not only a well-known actor, comedian and writer, but more importantly, also an electric car and sustainable tech advocate. Here is part two in a series of talks I did with Robert recently, where he speaks about fully charged events around the world, what fully charged could have been named, fully charged cities, and how Formula One champion Lewis Hamilton could be the next big name in electric vehicles. He starts off telling us about a visit to Byron Bay. I know you went to Byron Bay last year, I think it was, and
yeah,
you rode on the world's first completely solar-powered train.
Yeah, it's amazing. Amazing. I love that stuff. That's really clever. Their fuel bill, surprisingly, is very low. No, it's an amazing achievement. They've done a really, and it isn't, you know, it is basically a tourist train. It goes, I don't know what it goes, 4 or 5K. It doesn't go that far. It's back and forth. I mean, they want to extend the line a bit longer. So it's basically, you can get to the beach without taking your car. You can park a little way away and, you know, and ride to the beach on it. But it's such a lovely experience going along that track. It was stunning. And, you know, no air conditioning. It's like a 1940s railway carriages. They're really old carriages, but they've done them all up. And they just literally, when they get to the station, they use the same connectors that you'd use on an electric car. They just use two of them. Thung, in it goes. There's a battery pack under the where there would have been an engine. And it's just perfect. So that is being adopted in this country. There's now a couple of regular, normal rail lines where there is electrification on the line. And then there's a gap where there is no electrification, like 30 miles. Well, they've now put batteries in those trains. And instead of having diesel electric, they just have battery electric. So they can do that extra bit without any power, which saves a fortune, because to electrify that piece of already established rail line is millions and millions of pounds, you know. So that is happening. I think we'll see that a lot.
So the train in Byron Bay, it has solar panels on the roof, and then the train stations also have solar panels, which I thought.
Yes. So, I mean, the solar panels on the roof probably add 10 or 15% of the power needed to run the train. But I mean, one of the things about trains, which I did know because I've done TV shows about trains, is that they use a vast amount of energy to get them, say, to 50 miles an hour. And then you can turn the engine off and it'll carry on doing 50 miles an hour for like a long time if it's flat ground.
No friction.
Because there's so little friction. Yeah, incredibly low friction. So it's an incredibly efficient transportation system, which we used all over the world in trams and everything. It was very good. And then we ripped them all up and then replaced them with diesel buses with tyres, because the tyre manufacturers, you know, that history is not worth reflecting on. It's such a shame, because we had all our cities in the UK had trams, electric trams, really clean transport. Yeah. And we've got very few places now with it. Melbourne's got trams.
Yeah, but
yes, yeah, you're sensible. You hung on to yours. They're so cool. I love the Melbourne trams. Yeah,
I just wanted to mention you call it fully charged, but I think originally you wanted to call the show Gearless.
Oh yes, right?
I like that.
For about a week. Okay, so what inspired it was two things. So I went to a meeting at the BBC with the producer of Top Gear, who'd stopped doing Top Gear. So I pitched this idea to to the BBC and it just fell on its face. They didn't get it. They didn't understand what I was talking about, which is fair enough. 2010, it was a very different picture. And so I then thought, well, I had been making this show on YouTube called Carpool, which was, you know, I'm trying to shorten the story as much, but it was basically a combination of the technology and the ability to effectively broadcast a TV show without going through a broadcaster. That kind of caught my attention in the kind of mid-noughties. And I managed to get some secondhand cameras from the camera crew on Scrap Heap Challenge, little tiny, they're called lipstick cameras. So they literally were the size of a lipstick with a wire coming out of the back. You mount them on the windscreen, and then you've got two cameras in a car that you can barely see. They're so small. And I give someone a lift. And I worked this out. If I was going to do a chat show, no one I knew was going to come to a studio somewhere and sit and do talking. It was like too boring. But I could go to their house, pick them up, take them to the shops. And that, unbelievably, that worked. So I'd made 140 episodes of that, I think, with all sorts of people. And that, so that had worked fairly well. It got some millions of views, so it did all right. But in the end, it was kind of frustrating for me. It was just the same thing. And so then Fully Charged just sort of came up. So the idea of calling it gearless was that it was that electric cars don't need gears. So Top Gear, and there's a show called Fifth Gear, which is on another channel. And I said, well, this has got no, maybe no gears, but actually, ever since then, I've come across about three different electric vehicles that actually do have gears, particularly if they're high-performance racing electric cars. They have a sort of, they do change gear, so they can reach a top speed. But, you know, 90% of them don't. But that was the original thing. And then Fully Charged, I don't know where that even came from. It just appeared. And I just went, oh, that's better, I think. That's a better title. So it was gearless for about a week, I think.
Well, getting back to England, you've got a live three-day event, EV and clean technologies event, organised next year.
Yes, we do. So the last 2 years before this year, we did a show. So I was very reticent about it. So we organised a show at Silverstone, which is a motor racing circuit, but in the middle of nowhere, no public transport, no, you know, you have to have a car to get there. It's basically an old World War II airfield, literally in the middle of nowhere. So, and I just said to this amazing man, Dan Caesar, who's the managing director of Fully Charged, who had done events. So that's where I'd met him. I was presenting at an event he'd done a few years ago. And he said, oh, loads of people come. It'd be really popular. I went, no, who's going to come? You know, it's some electric cars at Silverstone. Silverstone's the wrong place. That's petrolhead heaven. You know, it's all wrong. Everything about it wrong. And then we went, there's this big exhibition space. I went, we'll never fill this. No one's going to come. I honestly was the most dismissive. And that first year we did it, which was on an absolute shoestring and a hope and a prayer, 5,500 people turned up over the weekend, which I thought we'd get. If we got 1,000, we were rocking. Yeah. And the second year we did it, we had 12,500 visitors. And this year we would have had about 18 to 20,000 if we could have done it, but we had to postpone everything. And we're doing it in a different venue. We're now doing it at Farnborough Airfield, which is much nearer London, much nearer public transport. Huge, huge hall. I mean, it's basically a hangar that you could put half a dozen 747s in. So it's a very big space. And so hopefully we're doing it sort of inside and outside there. So there's an apron outside there where you can park Airbus A380s if you've got them. So it's a big area. So we are praying that we will be able to do it. And we're then doing one in Austin, Texas, we hope, later in the year. We did one in Austin, Texas this year, which was, again, I was fully opposed to it. I said, it's stupid. It's the wrong place. Who's going to come to Austin, Texas? You know, it's different. We don't know the American market. We don't understand. We do have a lot of viewers in America. We did it, sold out, absolutely packed out, incredible success. It had cars on display there that 90% of the people who came had never seen, you know, so it was, they loved it. That's the feedback you get is amazing. So then in October next year, we're doing one in Amsterdam, which I think will be good. I feel confident about that. And then we're praying that in 2022, we will do one in Australia. What's we want to do Fully Charged down under. Because we've got a lot of viewers in Australia. A lot of people are interested in electric vehicles there. You know, it's a really complicated transition to do because, you know, your indigenous automotive manufacturing is probably going to be the last people on the planet to start making electric cars, from what I understand. But there is such incredible innovation in Australia, such incredible engineering-based skills. There's a lot of people converting existing cars to electric drive really, really well. And there's a whole industry around the world that is doing that more and more successfully. And that kind of thing, it will just start to become, you know, it's the same story anyway. So you're BMW i3 on your street, there's your neighbors will see that and go, why is she driving that weird? What is that then? You know, super dismissive could be, well, that's no good. Doesn't have the range. I need to drive to Whoop Whoop every day.
That sounds exciting. Fully charged comes to Australia.
Yeah.
And you went to Austin, Texas, when you went to America rather than California, which I thought would have been the obvious choice.
Me too. Me too. Believe me, I said it plenty of times. But everyone that went, a lot of people from California came there and they said, you did the right thing. This is much better. I mean, Austin, to put it in context for those who don't know, I mean, Texas, as we know, is a very conservative state. The urban triangle of Houston, Austin, and the other one, which I now can't remember, are oasis of progressive politics in an otherwise oil-based gun-toting. It's, you know, don't even want to think about it. But, I mean, for instance, the city council, the city authorities in Austin own the electricity network. Texas is an island in terms of the grid. It's not connected to the rest of America. Sure, and they have an incredibly advanced energy policy. So they're aiming to be 100% electric in Austin. They're close to it already. They have massive wind farms, absolutely colossal, which have been going for a long time, which make money. And the farmers love them because they make money. They get paid to have wind turbines on their land. They're very proud of them. That's not a contentious thing there. It's interesting. Very quirky place. And then lots and lots of solar. So for a while, the biggest solar farm in the world was in Texas, and it powered an oil refinery because the oil company realized how much money they saved using solar power to power the refinery. Austin was just amazing. Well, now we kind of heard rumors, but we really didn't have any inside knowledge that Tesla were going to build their next factory there. And that is right next to where we had Fully Charged Life. It's the next block of land. So by the time we do Austin next year, it might not be operating, but it will be a massive building by the time we're there. So that will be a sort of added attraction. But, you know, it's just the fact we got immense support from companies and the community activists in electric vehicles, you know, the Plug-in America, you know, there's a lot of local areas of electric vehicle associations. A lot of those people came along and did talks and presentations and had stands. It was just a brilliant atmosphere. And things like, we had the Rivian, which I'd never seen before, the Rivian trucks, which if your listeners aren't aware of, but there's a company, in new company in America called Rivian, who have, they've received an order for electric delivery vans from Amazon. So you go, well, that's good. What, like 10? No, 100,000 electric vans they're in the process of producing at the moment to do last mile deliveries. Well, last 100-mile deliveries, I suppose, in those cases. So they're a big company. They're making pickup trucks. And they are extraordinary. They're very, very powerful, very fast, with enormous range, all those things, you know. So I want to live long enough to own a Rivian pickup truck.
So you obviously like the big American tanks then.
I don't. I think they're ridiculous and they're stupid. But if you're not in Britain, when you're in America, you know, I had a Tesla Model S here for 4 years and I was all the time, the big embarrassment was, this is a ridiculously big car. It's just too big. I've never ever had a car that big. I always had Golfs, Volkswagen Golfs or Prius. You know, they're not big cars. A Tesla Model S, huge. It's like driving a, you know, king-size bed, especially in this country. Now, if I turn right out of my house where I live in Gloucestershire, both wing mirrors on the Tesla Model S would rub both sides of the hedge. That's how narrow the lane is. Don't turn right. Turn left, I can just about make it. You know, so it's just too big for this country. But when I've driven a Tesla Model S in America, it feels like a little compact, like a Ford Focus. It's tiny. It's easy to park because the car I'm next to is a 3.5-ton pickup truck. You know, it's a huge thing. That's the size of my house. It's just monstrous. So, yeah, it's all relative, isn't it? But the Rivian is a big, silly pickup truck that you don't need, but it's quite nice. And it's electric.
Of course. So have you given any thought to where in Australia you'd hold the Fully Charged a bit?
Oh, an enormous amount. But I don't think, one, I can't remember. And two, we certainly don't want to reveal it yet. Yeah. I think it's fair to say it's going to be in Adelaide, Melbourne, or Sydney. Or Pacific, yeah, Brisbane. I can't quite see it being in Brisbane. I think, I don't know. Okay. Then we've got a very good person in who has worked with us, who now lives in Australia, who is Australian, who's been scouting venues and booking dates.
Just in case you've missed it, I'm speaking with Robert Llewellyn from Fully Charged. Well, I was thinking Adelaide's just lost its, I don't know, Formula 500 or something.
That's right, yes.
They should actually go for an electric vehicle race.
They should, particularly Adelaide. I mean, electric vehicle race. So, there's a lot of stuff happening around that area. I mean, I don't know if you've heard, but Lewis Hamilton is, you know, will retire at some point from Formula One, except he keeps winning. But so he is very involved in Extreme E, which is an off-road, like a sort of Baja 500, you know, that kind of crazy pickup truck type, super powerful four-wheel drive nonsense, but all electric ones. So, you know, so I mean, I think there's very much like, there's likely to be a sort of, they should do a Darwin to Adelaide race where they don't go on one road would be good. Yeah. Although, you know, you've got to have a little bit of sensitivity. But, you know, that sort of thing is very plausible. And, I mean, the fact that he's tied his name to it, I think is very indicative of what's happening. That shift is, you know, can you get a more high-level petrol head than a Formula One champion? Probably not. And what does he want to do next? He wants to drive electric cars. I rest my case.
Yeah, absolutely. So, from Fully Charged, you then went to Fully Charged Cities, Fully Charged Cars to Fully Charged.
Yes, we will do. It's been COVID delayed because it's just. I think all the city authorities have got a couple of other things on their plate for the next 6 months or so. So yeah, I really want to do this. So that was really inspired by going to certain cities in Europe and in the UK. Where they're clear, the city authorities are really pushing that mandate. So, you know, I mean, even London is, you won't be able to drive a combustion car into London probably after 2025. So that is pushing, the shift is enormous. And it's delivery. What's really going to happen is delivery vans. So all that delivery stuff, all those, you know, the last mile deliveries, all the cargo bikes that are being developed, and, you know, they are really becoming a spectacular. You notice it now in London. It's, you know, the delivery vans. So all the UPS vans used in the centre of London are now electric. And that will be more and more obvious. The taxis are now electric. About a quarter of the buses by the end of this year, red double-decker buses, will be purely electric. And what we're trying to do, because everything like that's been delayed, is the infrastructure to charge those is quite a challenge. If you think, you know, there's a dozen people on this street have electric cars, ooh, that's quite different at night now. That will change the profile of their usage. Well, you have 450 electric buses with 150 kilowatt hour batteries in each one, and you're charging them at night. That is a lot of juice. You know, that's got to come from somewhere. You've got to have the infrastructure to support it, which they're building. I mean, that is happening. So that's very encouraging. Partly based on experience from China. So, Shenzhen, I don't know if you know, because there was a wonderful day about 3 years ago where we got a press release from Leicester City Council in the UK because they had launched their first fully electric bus. And there was a photograph of the mayor of Leicester proudly standing by this electric bus, which was built in China. And they just put it on the road. And the same day, we heard later, the same day, Shenzhen took 14,000 diesel buses off the roads of Shenzhen and replaced them with 14,000 electric ones in one day. And those buses were made in China. And it's when you see that scale of transition, and they had built the charging infrastructure to charge 14,000 buses. It's mind-boggling. Absolutely mind-boggling.
It is. So where does the funding come from to do that sort of thing in England?
I mean, I think that is from the local council. It will be from the government. So the peculiarity of our current administration is that they are, in terms of nationalism and right-wing politics, on the extreme end of the right-wing nationalist spectrum, you know, and the immigration thing that they've developed, you know, that we're swamped with immigration. And it's so kind of come back and bite them because we're desperately short of hospital workers. Because everyone who isn't British, who's come over here to work and has been treated like filth, have left. They've gone home. I mean, can you blame them? You know, God, who'd want to stay here? Anyway, so there's that side, very, very negative. bizarrely, they're very, very pro electric vehicles. They're pushing electric vehicles. They're pushing that agenda all the time. They're very pro offshore wind. They're very pro renewables. They're very, very committed to reaching a zero carbon 2050 goal. That, and they're not waffling about it. They're actually taking action. A lot of other stuff, they're waffling. Dealing with the current pandemic. It's just catastrophically, hopelessly corrupt and absolutely awful. But I have to acknowledge that they are doing these amazing things in terms of renewables, in terms of electric vehicles, in terms of supplying that infrastructure, which is really, you know, encouraging. And it's the economic advantages. They're pushing British technology. You know, there are some, you know, for all my criticisms of my homeland, you know, we do have a long history of engineering success, of being able to make stuff. We're very bad at then utilizing or making money out of it. Usually that used to happen in America. It now happens in China. You know, we'll come up with a brilliant idea. Lithium ion batteries developed in Oxford in the 1970s. And we made not a penny out of it. Typical. Yeah.
You obviously taught Australia how to do that too.
Yes. Well, that was the thing that... I know it's an awful thing to say, but there is a, no, I think it's changing. I genuinely think it's changing. But there certainly was a period, say, in the 1970s and 80s, where if you were a high-achieving, academic, arty, creative Australian, you probably went to California or the UK, which is, I think, really heartbreaking and so sad. But actually, I now think that's, you know, well, all I know is all the people who are arty and creative are desperate to go and live in Australia, particularly at the moment. You know, it's the other way around. You know, we're all going, can we, you know, my mates go, look, can we come and stay with you when you're there? You know, it's, yeah, slightly different. But, yeah, I'm hoping that has changed because it's you know, that your country needs those, well, particularly the people with engineering skills. I think there is enormous... that's an enormously attractive place to be doing that kind of development because there's such amazing opportunities in Australia to do that. And there are lots of companies that I know of that were developed. So the best rapid chargers you can get in the world, the company that makes them is in Brisbane, which would be the last place you'd expect electric car chargers, you know. So that it is intriguing. There's a lot of real high-level engineering skill and technological development in Australia, which is bizarre.
And we're starting to build electric buses. There's quite a few companies doing that.
Yes,
well,
which is going to become, it's going to happen. It will happen anyway. And then, you know, suddenly we'll have a bus on the streets of Coventry in the UK that's actually an Aussie bus, which would be great.
So the concept of fully charged cities is really exciting in my eyes.
Yes, no, probably not. I mean, I would suppose Adelaide is on the would be on the list. I think simply because they've got a slightly more, although the South Australia as a state certainly has a slightly more the acknowledgement that renewables work. Yes. Let's start there.
Yeah,
they do actually work.
Both sides of government understand that.
Yeah, and I mean it is, you know. I think the fact that a transition is by very nature disruptive, uncomfortable, awkward, it means that existing industries that are well established and have influence will lose that lead. And that means that you've got some tension and stress. That's going to happen. That has happened all over the place. You know, that's certainly not unique to Australia, but I think it is one of those transitions. So it's like, same as telephones, you know, when I, you know, you and I can remember that we used to have telephones with wire.
Yes.
You know, and if it didn't have wire, it didn't work. Yes. And it's that, you know, you then think, I've forgotten now. We don't have a landline. I mean, I wouldn't know what to do with it. And, I mean, I'm old enough to remember we had phones where you had to move your finger in a circle and dial. you know, that stuff. So that, and there could be any number of people who said, no, we've got to keep landlines. Landlines are for poorer people and keep them free. And you go, shut up, mate. It's not true. So it's like there's a brutal, vile argument that's used in this country that we should allow Africa to, we should export coal to Africa so they can have power. And that if you're opposed to that, you're trying to keep people poor. Mm-hmm. And you hear this argument, you go, that is brilliantly phrased. You know, because it's so painfully obvious that it's a massive scream in your face lie. And that what's happening on the ground in Australia is, you know, we've met some of the people who do it, that they are working out little financial schemes where people buy one solar panel, a tiny little 6-volt lead acid battery and LED lamps, and they have electric lighting. They don't need to use kerosene anymore. They're not, you know, all the negative stuff of kerosene. And it's, and that, as soon as people go there, oh, I can charge my phone on it as well. Oh my God. And they are, that is spreading across, you know, sub-Saharan Africa at an incredible rate. Yeah. And we know of a hospital, which I'd love to go and visit, amazing hospital that a friend of mine is the architect on, that's made of rammed earth, literally the earth that it stands on. And it's got a huge solar array on the roof. The roof is a massive, massive, like 10 tennis courts of solar. And it's flat because it's on the equator, so it doesn't need to be angled. and that produces power for the local villages as well as the hospital.
Wow.
So it needs no diesel generators. It doesn't do anything. And they're now talking about electric. So Land Rover have made some electric Land Rovers that are brilliant for that sort of environment, that, as ambulances. So, you know, it just, that stuff. And you go, what, you want to build a coal plant in Africa, you morons. Anyway, yeah. So there's that battle is going to go on for 20 or 30 years as those industries gradually decline. And the same for the oil industry. I think it's fascinating what is happening there. So there's constant resistance, and they'll do anything, and there'll be a lot of malpractice, corruption, but they know their days are numbered. And when you talk to executives in, for instance, Shell, I've recently had contact with, they know they've got to stop drilling up and extracting oil. They've got to transition their massive company and their tens of thousands of employees to something else. And they are investing, you know, billions in renewables in this country, until you see how much they're still investing in exploring for new oil resources, where hundreds of billions. So you've got to keep your cynical hat on, but acknowledge that they understand that there is a transition taking place that they have to be part of, or they die. You know, it's as simple as that.
Sadly, that's where we have to leave Robert Llewellyn, founder of Fully Charged, the world's number one clean energy and electric vehicle channel. But he'll be back next week to tell us more about the amazing clean energy developments he's seen around the world. The Beyond Zero Science and Solutions Show is brought to you by the Climate Change Solutions Think Tank, Beyond Zero Emissions, and is recorded in the studios of 3CR Melbourne and syndicated around Australia on the Community Radio Network. Previous episodes of the show are available on iTunes and Stitcher. Please subscribe to help others find the show. If you enjoy the program and can donate to help cover airtime costs, please go to the BZE website and click on the donate button. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to you joining us again next week.
It's not a product, it's a technology.
It's an education challenge.
A regenerative suspension.
There will be a growing demand for industrial photovoltaics.
Pumped hydro.
Innovation in the financing space.
The high-speed train is in all our interests.
All political lines.
Australia is a solar paradise.
The market is moving much faster than that.
You've got something that's transformational.
Solar window in a can.
Beyond Zero. Global warming science, solutions and action.
Taking it to a do-it-yourself level.